Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, 1080 on your AM dial in September, 50 years old, and of course the 95.1 FM. And a happy birthday to Dwayne Eddy, who is a great guitarist, and I've been using his Rebel Rouser theme almost my entire broadcast career, which is over 50 years. And he was just a few years older than I was, and when he was popular in 1958 with this particular Rebel Rouser tune, people would say, "Are you related to Dwayne Eddy?" And I'd say, "Yes." And they called me Wayne because he's a little bit older and he's my cousin. And so there are some people out there right around my age that think I'm related to Dwayne Eddy, and the only relationship I have is his great Rebel Rouser theme at 9 o'clock each morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I have another musician in studio right now, and it is part two of the Jesse Strait story. And Jesse, I want to thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me back.
We had a great time last. I learned so much about you, and I've known you since you were like 14 years old.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Out there at the old metal shop, sheet metal shop in Denison. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know Jesse Straits, but did you know that he has some siblings? Their names are John, Joan, Jimmy, Jerry, Joel, Janet, Jeff, Judy, Jack, Jesse. That's a whole bunch of family.
That's a lot of J's.
And your mother's name Ruth and your dad's name Al.
That's right.
And you were born in 1952, I believe.
That's correct. Good
and
memory.
I'm going to be playing some music.
All right.
Bumper music.
Mm-hmm.
From when you were 20 years old.
All right. 1972.
The first, and by the way, we do download these interviews onto our website. And if you want to play catch-up, Jesse is on there right now, and you can hear the first two-hour interview. We took you all the way through high school, and you were into music, and you went to the University of Minnesota to major in music. Am I correct?
That's right, Wayne. Yes. That was 1970, right after high school. I decided that I would try to go to college. No one in my family had gone to college other than my nine brothers and sisters, and I was the first one to be able to do that. And I was, you know, in high school, I was pretty good at music, and I decided music would be a career I might pursue. So I went to the University of Minnesota. I played under Dr. Ben Cresciuto, who was the director of bands at that time, and had a good first year there. However, I did decide to not major in music due to a couple of things I could bring up.
What?
Well, I was taking lessons, clarinet lessons at the time, from a Clyde Williams. He was a principal clarinetist with the Minnesota Orchestra, and I was studying with him while I was at the U. And he was the one that informed me that he felt like I would never quite make it professionally in music. That's a hard thing to hear. If
sure.
That's your dream. You could teach music, and a lot of people go into the teaching field of music, which is a great profession. However, I did want to be able to perform music, and he really thought that it would be a tough road. It's very tough anyway. Well, it's like being a professional athlete. You know, very few actually make that final cut.
Of all the siblings that you have, had any of them had an interest in music?
Just about zero.
Okay.
Really no interest in music. However, my father was very musical, and my uncle Herb Straits was director of bands in Waseca for 35 years, well known in the Waseca community. And him, Herb, and my dad, Al, were members of big bands during the 30s and 40s and traveled the Midwest playing all the time. And my dad was a clarinet and saxophone player, so I suppose that's where I got my interest.
And was that your favorite uncle?
Yes, I suppose it is. Yeah, you know, we back then we didn't travel a lot, but I definitely knew Herb, and up until he died, I think at 97 or something, he would drive over here with his wife to Northfield for the summer band concert, outdoor band concerts, to hear me play.
I find it interesting. Last week, I was in Dundas, and an elderly gentleman was navigating the steps to this restaurant in Dundas, and he had on a athletic jacket, you know, the cloth and then the
sure.
leather sleeves.
Yes.
And on the back in big print was Orchestra Man. And I followed him in so
yes,
I could get to know who's this guy. And his name is Paul, and his wife's name is Judy, and I think she plays the viola, and he was a teacher of music.
I'll be
and he's not up to it right now to join me on the air, but it'll be an interesting interview, I'm
sure.
It
should
be.
Yeah. Right, I would think so.
So, you know, I know you because of the fact that you were around the shop when I would call on... I don't know if I ever called on your dad or if I called on
my
Joel.
Dad could have been there, but I think primarily it would have been Joel and Jimmy
okay.
that you were talking to.
And I'd get to go in the back room
yes.
and watch you cut up Tina and all that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when you watched, not Alice in Wonderland, Judy Garland, the Golden Brick Road.
Oh, yes, and the Tin Man?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Did anybody ever tease you about that?
Well, I suppose, you know, there's always kind of the joke that we're Tin Men and... it was kind of interesting,
okay.
The Tin Man. I always wanted to build one, but I never did.
No, I come up with weird questions, and if I don't ask them, I'll forget them. But there was a young man that was part of the Chuck DeMann children,
yes.
Chip and Jerry and Doug. And
Chris DeMann.
And then there was Chris DeMann, who was a young boy.
Yes.
And we used to travel around robbing banks and raising money in publicity for the Justice James Day Committee. And I remembered he went into, I don't know what you call it, heat and air conditioning? Or
right. We hired him. When I say
you did?
Straight Heating and Cooling hired him when I had it, when he was just about... I mean, he was out of high school, but just by, I think, a year or two, he was out of high school, and he was available, and I hired him, and he really learned the trade through our company. I'm not sure of the number of years. I want to say he was employed by us for 6 or 7 years.
Okay, that's...
And then he decided to leave and go to a union sheet metal shop in the Twin Cities, and he is doing that to this day, and... does a marvelous job.
Okay, I just knew there was some kind of a connection there.
Yes, absolutely.
And thank you for clarifying that. Jesse Streit's my guest on KYMN Radio. Before I forget, I got to remind everybody that breakfast is served at the Quarterback Club, located on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield. And you'll see that they're getting the place all cleaned up from the dirty snow, etc. And people are already sitting outside enjoying their roasted chicken or their pitas or their soups or their baby back barbecued ribs. They just got it all at the Quarterback Club. And always remember, it is locally owned, it is locally managed, and it's been around 50 years. And there has to be hundreds of young men and women that got their first job at the Quarterback Club. So be sure to stop by there when you're hungry, and they do have a pickup. In other words, call them, tell them you got an order, and they'll fill it, and you stop in and pick it up.
Wayne, do you remember when there was a giant football on the top of that building?
I do remember that,
yeah.
And then it disappeared. And I had a guest on the other day and asked me the same question. And I mentioned to him that we asked, where is it now? Dale does not know. And somebody said they knew, and they sent me to some property. And I went and I looked at what they thought might have been the football.
Yes.
And actually it was a religious-shaped window.
Oh.
And there was torn out all the wood on the side.
I imagine it just got destroyed, I would think.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
And you know, what would you do with it if you had it now?
Right.
Would you put it back on the roof, or would you put it in on Bridge Square as a memento? Who knows?
But, and there were other quarterback clubs at that time too, wasn't there? I don't know how many they had, but
well, I heard double digit numbers, but I was only familiar with the one here in Northfield, and then the one on Highway 13 going west of the freeway on the south side of the road. That's all I remember.
By Shakopee kind of down there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get confused. What is Shakopee? What is Savage?
Right.
What is
That's all a blur there now. Yeah. It all blends together.
So you really surprised me because, you know, when I first met you, you were a young boy. And then, of course, I did business with you.
Right.
Not only were you an avid sponsor on KY Men Radios, 645-4040. Mm-hmm. But you also have done a lot of work for me at my house.
Right.
And I always thought you were a tin guy. Mm-hmm. And then I remember seeing you in the city orchestra that played on Bridge Square, I think, two, three, four times during the summer. But I never connected you with something that you told me while we were waiting in the green room, in that you actually has had a teacher certificate?
Yes, after I went to the University of Minnesota in music, really I was told that I probably would need to go to France and study clarinet for 10 years.
Why is that?
France was the place where all the great clarinets were coming out of, and it's extremely... To be a professional musician in anything takes a lot of training, and I just felt like I did not want to go to France and study for 10 years and come back and maybe get a job, maybe not. So I decided to change my majors, and I went to the University of Minnesota, Mankato. And there I took up industrial education, something I've always been interested in. However, through my 3 years there, I played in the orchestra, the Mankato Symphony, the college orchestra, and the college band throughout my 3 years there. I just was not a music major any longer and did it for fun. So I got my degree in teaching in industrial education, which is teaching metalworking, electronics, drafting, autos, plastics, photography, woodworking. All those things are all part of our training.
Why is it so hard to be a clarinetist? Now, no offense.
No,
okay.
Right.
To me, you know, it's a looks like it'd be a relatively simple thing to play. I don't know how many little silver push-down buttons there are.
A lot of keys on there. Well, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a violin, if it's a clarinet, if it's a trumpet, if it's a tuba. It just takes a high degree of training and discipline to learn all the ins and outs of music. It's not just playing your instruments, but it's learning about music as well and how to interpret the classics and so on. And when you get to a level like you were a major league ball player, you're allowed just about no errors. And that's the difference. I could play some difficult passages, just like you could go to the Dundas Dukes and see some unbelievable plays. The difference is the professional makes that play every time. And they lower down, let's say, AAA ball, they're going to make more mistakes. And it's the same thing with music. If you're in a major orchestra, you're expected to hit that and make that and play that part perfectly every time.
How many little buttons?
Well, there's actually 13 keys on the clarinet, and then there's various holes as well, but there's 13 keys. And that came about in about 1920 when the clarinet was developed into the new system.
And then if you take those 13 keys and figure out how many different ways you can play them, it'd be in the millions, I would imagine.
Well, I suppose, I don't know what the combination is, but I mean, the clarinet does have the longest range of any instrument, or highest range from low to high of any instrument.
A lot of breath control?
A lot of breath control.
Are you blowing into it, or are you kind of breathing into it?
No, you have a lot of pressure built up in your inside from your lungs through your mouth, and it's called the embouchure of the mouth, and you have a lot of pressure going on, but you only let through a small amount of air, but it takes a lot of pressure behind it. It's like having a garden hose on, and then you pinch it off. That pressure's still there, and then you just let out a certain amount of air for volume and tone and pitch.
Good description.
Sure.
I always like to learn as much as I can about different things, and one of my guests most recently is the conductor of the Rochester Symphony Orchestra, and we talked about chairs and things like that.
Sure.
And, of course, it's like in football, are you the starting guard? Are you the starting quarterback, defensive end? And they have chairs in orchestras.
Right.
And so what's it like if you admittedly said your professor suggested that you don't pursue a career as a symphony clarinist, what's it like to be in the, I don't know how many chairs deep it will go, but obviously there's a first chair, so there should be a second, I would assume.
Right. Well, in an orchestra, there's not very many clarinets. Typically, there's two, perhaps three, and then maybe a bass clarinet besides. And so there is the principal, which would hold the first chair. So he'd be called the principal clarinetist or the principal violinist or whatever.
Okay.
And then, but that would be like first chair in a band. I don't know if we use the chairs as much in an orchestra as you might in a band. But anyway, first chair would be the principal clarinetist in this case.
Are you familiar with Roger Koopman?
No, I do not know him personally, but I certainly know who you're talking about.
Well, he retired, then he came out of retirement, and now I think it might be his son that has a band.
Gary Anderson actually bought up his music and his band. So Gary Anderson, who was a clarinet and saxophone player, grew up in Northfield, was a great clarinetist here in Northfield. I don't know what his career was, but he bought up all of the music of Koopman's, and he runs the Koopman Band now.
Okay. And I have been at his home, Roger, many times, and he has by far the most beautiful garden in Rice County.
And I'll be darned.
He's been on Good Housekeeping covers many times.
Now, Gary Anderson, you may know Phil Anderson, who was a trumpet player.
Yeah.
Phil Anderson's boy is Gary.
Yeah.
And Gary grew up playing with Phil Anderson in the Koopman Band, I believe.
Okay.
And that's how Gary got to...
I saw a sign somewhere that said the Koopman Band, so that's why...
I believe the Koopman Band the Koopman Band is coming for the one-day Vintage Band Festival this summer in Northfield here at the end of July. Yeah. I should know the date, but July 29th, maybe. It's out on Bridge Square, and Koopman's going to be playing in the evening.
Well, I've been to dances put on by the Rice County Historical Society.
Yes.
And they had the Koopman Band, and I saw some... music teachers from Northfield in that band, and it's the 40s type music, and it's really fun to dance to.
It's fun music. It's fun to play, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a rock and roll enthusiast?
You know, probably. I mean, no. I mean, I love music. I love to listen to all types of music, but I can't say that I followed it real close.
Okay, so were you like a Beatles fan?
Beatles. Then after that, it would have been Simon and Garfunkel.
Mm-hmm.
That type of music. A little more of the 70s folk music, perhaps.
Okay.
But my tastes were always like a generation or two, or like a decade or two behind. So when people were listening to the Beatles, I was still listening to music from the 50s. And
yeah.
People were listening to the 70s. I was more into the 60s, so I've always been a little bit behind on that. I don't know exactly why that is.
Who are some of the main people? When I say main, I mean people that have been in this community band for years and years. Now, I know I know you, and I know Sue Klinkhammer. That's not her last name anymore. But
right.
Who are some of the other
Phil
people?
Phil Anderson... When I was playing in the summer band here in Northfield, Phil Anderson was the longest-running player.
Was he also a beekeeper?
Yes, the beekeeper.
Okay.
Right. And he played trumpet, and he played trumpet throughout his entire life. And when I was young, he was playing in there. When I'm saying when I was in 25, 30 years old, he was playing in there, and they would always point him out on how long he had been playing in the band, and I always thought that was kind of cool. Well, lo and behold, now I'm the longest-running player in the band. Yes.
Well, congratulations.
About 50 years, I think, I've been playing in the summer band. So I don't know if that's an honor or not, but I guess it's good to say that I have been doing that.
I think it is so cool to go down to your local Bridge Square, like here in Northfield, and to watch the city or community band play and see a person that's 65 years old and a 15-year-old next to him.
Right. No, it's fun. It's great fun. And primary, you know, one of the primary purposes of the band is really to get adults who maybe haven't played for a while to get that instrument out of the closet and try to play again. And so we really invite anyone who wants to play to join the band. And we play for fun. Obviously, we try to be as good as we can. But it is for fun.
Okay.
And we enjoy it, and we get a good crowd of people out.
See if you still have your chops.
That's right.
I remember broadcasting live the performance of the community band, and I would walk around with, I'd have one microphone for the overall sound, and then I had a microphone, I could, this is back before wireless mics, but so I had a long cord,
yes.
And then I would go up and I'd put it in front of your clarinet, put it in front of Sue's trumpet, put it in front of the drummer, or put it in front of the saxophone player, and it sounded really cool coming over the radio, live music.
Yes. Bob Matheson used to play in the summer band.
He
and
did.
Greg Langer played in the summer band also.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yep. A long time ago now, because they quit playing and I kept on for some reason.
Are you similar in age to those two guys?
Greg Langer and Bob Matheson and I graduated the same year, 1970.
Okay.
So we were good friends in high school.
And, of course, Greg Langer is the reigning Joseph Lee Haywood Award recipient. I saw
him
the other day. And they announced the new one for 2018 that will be a banquet on Wednesday of Defeated Jesse James Day weekend. And it's a couple, Lois and
Stratmore, right.
Noel Stratmore.
Yes, yes, I heard that.
And they're musicians. They sing.
Yes. Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I remember hearing Noel sing.
Yeah, he's really good.
Because he's in a little group, a men's group, like a quartet or a quintet.
It is 27 minutes after 9 o'clock. Jesse Streitz is my guest here on KYMN. We'll be back in just a moment on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
At Harry Brown's Family Automotive, save up to $4,750 off MSRP on 2018 Equinox LT SUV. Select competitive owners, get another $2,500 off. Save up to $16,000 off MSRP on 2018 Silverado LT. Select competitive owners, get another $500 off. Chevy, find new roads. Harry Brown's Family Automotive in Faribault. Online at harrybrownsgm.com.
Must finance with GM Financial. Include $750 down payment assistance on Equinox, $1,000 on Silverado. Silverado stock number 89810. Competitive make owners. Must prove ownership of 99 or newer non-GM vehicle. Offers end 4/30/18.
Firehouse Liquor, your family-owned and operated liquor store in Dundas. We have the largest selection in southern Minnesota, open daily from 8 to 10 p.m. for all your refreshments. We offer 15% case wine discounts, and for the seniors, we have discounts every day. It's Firehouse Liquor in Dundas.
Here's a universal song. It was the number 10 song in all of 1972. And do you know it already?
I recognize it. I'm trying to think of the name. Starts with an S. Someone or?
Yes, someone to
love. Someone to. Not coming to me.
Young people on The Voice and American Idol.
Sing this.
Try to sing this.
Right. Who is this that recorded it?
Lean on me.
That was the title.
When you're not strong.
Bill Withers.
Bill Withers.
1972. Is that a year? Is that the... You were out of high school for a couple of years.
Right. I was out of high school for 2 years. My wife, Lori Williams, graduated in 1972.
Oh, okay.
Northfield person.
And I've heard that name, and I'm thinking, 72, and this is, how many years ago is that? Right off the top of your head.
46.
Okay. Boy, time flies. My guest this morning, Jesse Streitz, he's got a really interesting thing we're going to talk about in regards to a tour he took on his bicycle cross country, and we'll get to that, but right now, you get this degree from the University of Minnesota, Mankato, or whatever they call it now. And now you got a teacher's certificate, and you wanted to be a clarinetist. Your life growing up was tin work, And what is tin work the right?
Well, you know, it used
heating and cooling.
Right, heating and cooling is the trade now.
Okay.
There was a day when my dad learned the sheet metal trade that you did heating and cooling, but you also made the milk pails for the farmers. You made the pails that customers used in their homes. You made the tin bread boxes that were found in the drawers and the tin flour boxes. So tinning was part of that trade. That stuff is just about gone from our trade now. The only tin we really do is making ductwork for furnaces and air conditioners and to distribute that heat.
I remember you vacuumed my ductwork one time.
Yes, yes. We have a vacuum that will do suck out all the dust out of the entire duct system.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yes, yeah.
A lot of skin in there.
Yes, there is.
929 on 10E KYMN Radio, Northfield, Minnesota. Jesse Streit's my guest. And so you mentioned all the various things that a man in your position has to know to be able to teach industrial arts or whatever it's called. So did you try it?
Tried
teaching?
Yes, I did teach. I believe I had a total of 7 years of teaching, and my first job of teaching was in a small school south of Mankato, Amboy.
I've heard of it.
They consolidated Amboy Good Thunder at the time, and I think they've consolidated again like a lot of rural schools have done. And I taught there for 2 years. I taught science as well as industrial arts in a small school district. If you had any experience in other fields, you would be called upon to also teach those. So I think I had 7th and 8th grade science and 9th grade science as well.
That's a fun group to teach.
It was a fun group, yes. There are a lot of changes going on at that age.
A lot of puberty. And
yes, a lot of changes happening.
Yeah. I remember when I went to high school. There was metal shop and
yes.
wood shop.
Right, right.
And band.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you didn't take metal shop and wood shop and band.
Right.
And today, I wish I would have taken all three.
But you know, students now have so many options in front of them and they have choices to make so early on. But, you know, industrial arts programs have been cut in a lot of the school districts as funding gets tight. And it's really a shame because the trades, whether it be electricians or plumbers, heating, roofers, we really need good tradesmen. And it starts in high school. But, most schools still have some sort of auto shop, and they'll have wood shop, and they may have a drafting class.
I took a mechanical arts class.
Sure.
Because I thought it'd be so cool to use a protractor.
There you go.
And a compass.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out this is not as easy as it looks.
I love drafting. It was a fun thing. Now, of course, it's almost all done on the computer. Very seldom do you actually get out your old T-square and triangles and protractors and compasses. It's all done on the computer.
I'm surprised I remembered the name protractor.
No, that's pretty good.
And that was the day of the slide rule. After Amboy, where did you go?
I got cut from Amboy. It was declining enrollment, so after 2 years there, my position was cut. So I decided to go back to college and work on my master's at Mankato State. So I started taking some advanced classes there. I taught at Mankato State College and for 2 years in the industrial arts program as a grad assistant, as a grad student. And however, while I was studying some advanced industrial technology stuff, I had the hankering that somewhere in my career I was going to own my own business. So I started taking some accounting and business classes at Mankato State also. So should I have my own business, I would know that part of the business as well.
Yeah, well, you know, this is all news to me. I never knew that you had this formal education and taught and all that. Did you ever get back into a high school?
Yes. After my graduate work at Mankato, I came back, and my wife and I moved back into this area, and I took a teaching job at Northfield High School, at the high school.
Now, were you a student of Semenich?
I had Fred Semenich as a teacher in the middle school. I had various people. In the high school, when I was going to Northfield High School, I had Dean Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, he's the person I replaced when I came back at the Northfield. Was
wasn't his son a drummer or something?
His son, Glenn Austin, was a great musician. He was one of these people that played many different instruments, and I believe he sang as well. And he went to the University of Minnesota to study music the same year I did, because I graduated with Glenn Austin.
When I think of Glenn Austin, I think of Craig and Peter
Wozner.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think they're about the same age.
Yeah. I think they were, right.
And I remember being at the Northfield High School and those three playing in the gymnasium when I had a Viking take on the Townies.
That's how
I arranged
okay.
that. And, you know, Jed Domeyer and the rest
yes.
of the guys. And they were the pep band.
Okay.
And they were good. They were
they
really
were great.
Good.
The great musicians, yeah. And Glenn did some composing as well. I'm not sure where he's at now. I've lost track of him.
Mm-hmm. Jesse Streitz is my guest here this morning on KYMN Radio. It's 9:35, and we're going to take a brief break, and we're coming back, and we will get to your tour eventually, but it's really fun to learn things about people that you've known forever.
Yes,
that you didn't know.
I'm learning things about you, Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's take this break.
Your wait is over. Finally, a refreshingly affordable golf membership. As one of the finest golf facilities in the greater Twin Cities area, Northfield Golf Club membership is built upon quality with a price point that is unmatched for a private club. A true value. The course offers a variety of membership options, including individual, couples, senior, young adult, and others. You're invited to compare versus private and even public golf courses. 2018 memberships now available. Call our friend, General Manager Dan Doles at 507-645-4026.
This spring, it's time to add new life to your car with a great new set of Cooper tires at Witt Brothers Service in Northfield. For a limited time, you can get a $100 Cooper Tires prepaid card when you buy a new set of four qualifying tires. Options include the high-performance Cooper Zeon, the long-lasting Cooper Grand Touring, and the rugged Cooper Discovery. So cruise down the road this spring on top of a new set of Cooper tires and put a little extra money in your pocket, too. For details, visit CooperTire.com or stop by Witt Brothers Service, 701 Division Street in Northfield.
Music from 1972, the year my guest's wife graduated from Northfield High School.
Wait a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sorry.
Recognize it?
I recognize it, absolutely.
Okay.
Was it Gibbs?
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
But that's not the performer, is it?
Gilbert O'Sullivan is singing this.
Ah, okay.
Here comes the title.
At a church where people sang, my God, that stuff, she stood him up. No point in us remaining. We may as well go on. Cause I did on my own, alone again, naturally.
That's the title, Alone Again, Naturally, 1972. Gilbert O'Sullivan, the number two song of all of 1972. My guest this morning is Jesse Streitz on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And you had an opportunity to teach in your former high school that
right.
you attended.
Yes.
Did all of your brothers and sisters go to Northfield High School?
No. We moved down into the Northfield area when some of them were already grown or had already graduated.
Okay.
I believe five of us could have graduated. From.
Jack, Judy, Jeff, and Janet?
I think Joel had, though.
Joel?
Joel might have had 1 year here, and Jeanette, and then Jeff, Jack, Judy, and myself.
Did the teachers have an association with the Streitz name? Here comes
yes.
another Streitz kid, another
yes.
Bierman kid,
yes.
another Klinkhammer kid.
Yes, exactly. No, they all knew of the Streitzes, I think, at that point, and I was the last one to come through. And some of my brothers were a little rougher, let's say, than me and less well-behaved. And so I had a strike against me as soon as they met me because they thought maybe I was going to be another trouble Streitz.
Well, I know Joel would be a prankster.
Yes.
And, you know, did you ever have I always ask this question. When you have a bunch of brothers and sisters, did you ever have the time where your older brothers pick on you, and then someday you fight back and find out, hey, I can hold my own, and then all that fighting quits.
Right, exactly. You get picked on until you finally get big enough to at least fight back. you might not win, but at least it was going to be trouble. So then the picking stops.
Was it a thrill to come to your alma mater, Northfield High School, and sit in the teacher's lounge and talk to the teachers that taught you?
Yes, it was. It was really interesting. Of course, but you'd go into the teacher's lounge back then, and the teacher's lounge would be full of smoke. And I remember as a student walking by, every time that door would open up to the teacher's lounge and the smoke would come out. So it was kind of interesting. But, boy, those days are gone now. You couldn't even light up a cigarette anywhere near the building. But, yeah, coming back and sitting down on an equal basis with teachers that you had. Because when I came back to Northfield, I probably was only 25 or 26. So
just
wasn't
a puppy.
That many years
yeah.
removed from having been a student there. So it was interesting, but it was great that they all accept you as a fellow teacher, and it was fun.
Did you join the union?
I did join the teachers union. I was never a union person. I did fight that.
Did you have Don Hill at the leader
yes.
of the union?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, but Don Hill was no longer teaching at that time, I don't think, when I came back, but he was head of the teachers union at that point.
Interesting man.
Yeah, I don't know him that well.
Well, he was my neighbor, and I've had him on the air a couple of times, and he has his opinions, and he's an intellect in that regard,
mm-hmm.
and he and I would differ on some items and discuss it in a peaceful way.
Sure.
He's wrong, I'm right, I'm wrong, he's right, you know how that goes.
Right, right, yeah.
So anyhow, it's kind of interesting, here you are a student, and you come back, and your peers are now your former teachers, and head of the teachers union.
Right,
it's
right.
pretty cool.
Yes, it was fun, and I only had 2 years at Northfield, because again, the position was cut, so I didn't have a lot of luck in maintaining a position because it was in the 70s, declining enrollment a little bit around the area, so and I would be the low guy on the totem pole. So
was your number 63? Or am I thinking, I'm thinking of somebody else. In regards to the Vietnam draft.
Oh, no, my Vietnam draft number was like 167, or the military draft number.
Was that
167.
A worrisome?
I think that year that I would have been eligible, it got to 135, 140, so I was sweating it a little bit,
yeah.
Yes. I just thought that if it got close to my number that I would try to get into the military band, I would join up
oh,
then.
Oh, sure. I think I may have asked that question because that flashes back that mm-hmm. That's what you would have done. That would have been a cool gig.
That would have been a really good experience. Yeah. Some great
you
musicians
travel all over. And
yes, absolutely.
Play at the White House and
right, right.
That'd be cool. Be in parades and
yeah, yep.
And you know, I think that most of the men and women in the Army think, well, that's an easy gig being in the band, but I'm sure that they have to. Be able to be combative, etc., and they just have the plush of being in the Marine band or Navy band or whatever.
Right, and it's a great education. A lot of them come out as music teachers and or performers
because
mm-hmm. it's a pretty high degree level of performance in that band.
Other than the community band, did you ever have a band like the Wasners or play with any of the bands in the era at the time, garage bands?
Not really. My dad had an old-time band for a while called the Polka Dots, and I played in that when I was in high school. And we gave concerts around, and you might have heard
I've
us
heard
before.
Of the Polka Dots.
Yeah.
They were kind of a big deal, weren't they?
Well, there was a band that came after us, I think, that was Polka Dots also. But my dad's band played around, and we did a pretty good job.
Did you ever get to play at the Northfield Ballroom?
We did not play at the ballroom, but we gave a couple concerts at the time, because I believe that might have been pre-ballroom where we gave at the Great Hall and at Carleton. Faculty would have a party or something, mm-hmm. and we'd play there for
a
them.
Polka band?
Yep, absolutely. Polka band at Carleton, isn't that something?
Yeah,
I don't think you'd hear that anymore.
Yeah.
That doesn't quite fit, does it?
You know, one of the things, I'm from the city, and, mm-hmm. you know, polka's, you know, but I'll tell you what, the polka is one of the most fun dances I can do, and they all end. Da, 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 da.
Yeah. And, you know, I like all music for a while. I enjoy playing polkas in the old time, your schottisches and the foxtrots and the waltzes. But after a while, they do all start to sound about the same.
Yeah.
And so about 45 minutes of polkas, and I'm ready to move on to something else.
And the other thing I observe, if you watch any wedding dance, for example,
mm-hmm.
when the polka is being played, everybody on the dance floor has a big smile on their face.
I'm always surprised at that. Even all of the young people, when an old time piece is played, it seems like they all get out and they dance to it or mm-hmm. try.
I know when Julie and I got married, we had our reception at the ballroom, and that was in 1989. And this band just came back. They had been real, real popular. And they had retired the band. First name is Dick. I'm not going to remember his last name.
Dick Kubisch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you. And they could really play the...
well, they're well-known. I think they're from New Prague area or Lonsdale area. Great band. And a lot of original compositions as well.
Yeah. Boy, what a way he died, huh?
I didn't hear about that. I don't know how he died.
Heart attack at the little, like, Tasty Freeze in Lonsdale.
Oh, really?
That little ice cream shop.
Sure, sure. No, I didn't know that. Yeah.
It's 15 minutes before it's 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Jesse Streitz. And if you ever, if you hadn't heard of Jesse Streitz, you might have heard of John, Joan, Jimmy, Jerry, Joel, Janet, Jeff, Judy, Jack. They are all his older brothers and sisters, parents Al and Ruth. We'll be back in a flash.
Neely's Shoe Repair in Northfield is your shoe and boot repair center. Randy also does leather repair, including bags and briefcases. They sell new boots, belts, and shoe care items. Your shoes and boots will appreciate the quality work at Willie's Shoe Repair.
When you want a mower that outmaneuvers, outperforms, and outdoes the competition, the Cub Cadet Residential Zero-Turn Mowers have got you covered. Our innovative steering wheel control lets you work faster while making your lines straighter. And our AeroForce cutting decks with advanced aerodynamics mean less clumping, better bagging, and the great look of the Cub Cadet's signature cut. It's zero-turn strength with zero comparison. Test drive American-built strength today at Kenyon Ace Hardware, your locally owned Cub Cadet dealer, for expert advice, superior service, and exceptional offers in Kenyon.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance, that I can
you're on
make
the air.
The name, is it American Pie?
Correct.
Right.
Be happy for a while. But February made me
1972, you said.
Big hit.
So this was a, was it number one ever?
Number, it may have been number one at one time. But overall, for the year of 1972,
okay,
it was number three.
All right, what's a big hit?
Don McLean. And I remember playing this out at our studios underneath the tower in Waterford Township. And, of course, we played them on turntables.
Yes.
And when you were out there all alone
mm-hmm.
and you had to use the restroom,
yes,
you put this record on.
Because it's about 5 minutes?
8 minutes and 32
eight?
Seconds.
Really, that
And
long.
You can get a lot done in 8 minutes
and
32 seconds.
You can get a lot done in 8 minutes. And that's the record that, you know, had a skip to it, and you had to rush back to take care of that problem. And of course, in those days, that would happen.
We had one of our program directors wired sound into the bathroom
uh-huh.
so we could hear that, and sometimes, not often, a record would skip.
Right, right.
Well, you got to stop whatever you're doing
right.
to get in there and get that record.
But you
moving.
Would take good care of the records to try to eliminate the possibility
yes.
of skipping by
rare.
Keeping scratches off and
right.
so on.
It'd be rare, very rare.
Yeah.
Can you teach me how to dance? Once again, our guest this morning is Jesse Streitz, and you may know him as a guy that does heating and air conditioning and duct work and all of that. And I'm finding out an awful lot about you, Jesse. And, you know, I hate to say this, but I don't know how else to say it. I have a lot more respect for you now.
Oh, well, wow.
Because
that's great.
Well, you know, you were an advertiser, so of course I want to be nice to you.
Right.
And you did my work at my house and have for years. You'd there at least twice a year because you do the maintenance program.
Sure.
And so you're nice to me.
Right.
And I never got to know you. We just knew each other on a business level, basically.
Exactly.
But now I find out all this other stuff. I'm going, wow, this is interesting. And what is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Lori Williams.
Now, why? Is that? That sounds familiar.
Lori Williams, well, her mom was Arlene Williams, who was a postmaster in Dundas for many years.
Okay. Replaced by Marilyn Anthony.
Right. And my wife never changed her last name when we got married, so she kept the Williams name. And back in 1974, when we got married, that was a little unusual. And we had some trouble with that, with the IRS. They could never seem to get that figured out, that we weren't married. And we'd have trouble with our taxes because they would say, well, they just couldn't identify with that. Now it's quite common. But back then it was quite unusual.
You don't do the slash?
No, there's no hyphenated or anything like that. She's Lori Williams, I'm Jesse Streights. Yeah. And people will call her Lori Streights sometimes, or they'll even put my last name as Williams, so it still gets mixed up a little bit.
I was the best man to Chip DeMann when he got married to Jane Moline.
Sure.
And
she's
Jane Moline, and he's Chip DeMann.
Right. And that's great. I have no trouble with that whatsoever. At the time, it was just a little unusual. But a little interesting story there. I met Lori at Northville High School. And I was a senior, and she was a sophomore, and I was going to be performing a clarinet solo for the state solo contest, and I went to our band director, and I said, you know, I'm playing a clarinet solo. I need a pianist. And he said, well, I've got this sophomore, and I'm thinking, well, I'm a senior. I'm a pretty good player. What is a sophomore going to know about playing a Mozart piece? Well, it ended up being Lori. I always tell my students now, be careful who you pick as your accompanist. You may end up marrying her. So, to make long story short, we not only did well at the solo contest and got a good mark, but we ended up dating and got married in 1974. Right. Yeah, 74.
So you were 24 or 22 years old?
22, right.
Yeah, that's pretty young.
It was pretty young. Back then, it wasn't quite so young. Now, people are waiting quite a bit longer to get married.
Go and enjoy life.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing.
So, is she connected to the Williams? There are many Williams in town here.
Yeah. You know, I don't know the connection to all of them, but there are Williams from the Little Prairie area out, you know, south of Dundas. And her family grew up, and she grew up in Dundas area. She was big in music as well. She also played clarinet in the band when I was playing clarinet in the band.
Second chair.
She was just behind me.
Okay.
And then she sang a lot in the choir with Wayne Kivel. Kivel was a director at that time. I think you're going to have Wayne Kivel on one of these days, aren't you?
I have had and may in the future.
Because they have a concert coming up on Sunday.
Oh, on Sunday?
On Sunday at, I think it's at Bethel in the evening.
Okay.
And she sang at Mankato State College. Lori ended up being an RN, a nurse. But she was involved in the music program at Mankato State, sort of like me, just for fun. She did not get a music degree. She went into nursing. So she sings to this day with Wayne Kivel. In fact, when Wayne Kivel started the group I Cantante here in Northfield, my wife was a charter member of that group, so she's been singing with him a long time.
I remember when that was formed.
Sure.
Do you and Lori
mm-hmm.
ever stand in the living room, she at the piano and you at the clarinet, and play together?
That happens all the time. We have a grand piano in our living room, and I keep my clarinet out almost at all times on a stand, and whenever we get an opportunity, and we perform at churches in the area and other places. We're going to be playing at the Senior Center, I think, for noontime entertainment one of these days coming up. So we play around town.
Okay. When you say you have your clarinet on the stand, I'm wondering, how many reeds do you think you have gone through in your lifetime?
Well, when you buy a box of 10 reeds, you may find two or three that are going to perform for you, and the other seven you just have to throw away. Because, of course, reeds are made out of cane. It's a naturally growing product, and it's going to have flaws in its grains and its wood structure, so the manufacturer never knows for sure what's going to be a good reed. So you'd go through boxes and boxes and boxes of reeds just to find a few good ones. An interesting sidelight to that is that for the last 20 years, they've really been working on artificial reeds. Plastic, glass, fiberglass, different combinations, and about once a year I would always try an artificial clarinet reed. Well, after 20 years, I have to say that I have now officially fully switched to an artificial reed. I no longer play in a cane reed, which is a big deal. It comes out of France, actually. It's a Bagheera reed, and it's a wonderful reed. You don't have to wet it. It's really great for people who are doubling on instruments. Let's say I'm in a jazz band, a polka band, and I got to play the clarinet and the sax. One piece I'm playing the clarinet, a moment later I have to grab that saxophone. I don't have time to wet that reed. So by going to these artificial reeds now, you really don't have to take that time. So for people who double on instruments, it's a really a nice thing.
Does the saxophone take a reed?
No. Saxophone has a reed also.
It
yeah.
does?
Yeah, it looks just like the clarinet reed, only it's a little bit bigger.
Wow.
And the,
boy, am I stupid.
Bass clarinet, the saxophone, the oboe, and the bassoon are all reeds. Mm. They all take reeds.
I like the oboe.
The oboe is an interesting sound.
Yeah.
Now, it's a double reed. For your listeners out there who might not know the difference, a clarinet's going to have one reed. An oboe and a bassoon is going to have two reeds kind of strapped together. So it's called a double reed.
What does a box of reeds cost?
Well, now you're going to spend about $30 on a box of reeds, so they're about $3 a piece.
And then this fake one? Not fake, but...
Well, yeah, you can call it fake if you want. Okay. But it's an artificial reed or a man-made reed. That's about $30 for one reed. So you'll spend $30 on one reed, but that reed is probably going to last you 4 to 5 months, where a wood reed might last you 1 month, and you've got to go through a box of 10 to find a few. So I would say the costs are comparable.
$30 a month for, I mean, you're talking $360 a year.
Yeah, just in reeds. And if you play a saxophone, then you're going to need to buy them as well.
Yeah. So what's your favorite composer? Mozart?
Well, in the classical, I would have to say that I like Mozart, and in the clarinet concertos, Weber. And we still love to attend orchestra concerts. I love the classical music. I was brought up through the classics. I played for a long time in the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra here under Paul.
Numisto?
Yep, Numisto. I haven't played for the last couple years with a group. I've just needed a break, I think.
Have you ever been to his performance, gathering of all the tuba players
yes,
for Christmas?
Yeah, Tuba Christmas, absolutely. Yep, they had another one this year.
Yeah, the thing that amazes me about that is the melody that tubas carry.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
I never ever heard a melody come out of a tuba.
No. Back years ago when I was a student at the University of Minnesota, there was a gentleman named Stan Fries who was like this outstanding tuba player. And he went on to become quite famous in the realm of tuba players. And he would play the clarinet polka on the tuba.
Wow.
It was that good.
Wow.
And you could, I mean, and he got every note.
Do you have any CDs of your performances?
Yes, I have some CDs where I have I perform. You know, quite a few different ones.
You ever listen to them and say, oh, man, I missed that note?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I do, in the, you know, because we hear it. You hear it differently yourself when you're playing than the audience hears it, because we're hearing a lot of the sound is coming internally through our teeth and through our jaw and coming up to our ears internally. So a musician oftentimes needs to hear a recording of themselves or an outside person listening to tell them how it's sounding. Because we just don't hear quite the same.
How many types of clarinets are there?
Well, there is a soprano clarinet, which is a little E-flat clarinet. Then there's the B-flat clarinet, which is a very typical one. That's what you're going to mostly see being played now, is the B-flat. And then if the music was written, the classical music was written before the 1800s or so, it probably was written for an A clarinet, which is about an inch and a half longer than the regular clarinet. So I have to own one of those when you play in an orchestra, because you're going to play the older music. And then there's a bass clarinet, and then there's a contrabass clarinet.
Is it sacrilegious to call it a licorice stick?
Not for me, it's not. I know that some people maybe would object to it, but no, I like Pete Fountain and Artie Shaw and all those who played on the licorice stick.
And these would be probably, who would today be the big one, the clarinetist?
Oh, well, Martin Frost is a classical a clarinetist out of, I think, Sweden. A fantastic player. But as far as jazz, I'm not sure who that would be right now. It was Pete Fountain, but he has quit playing.
We're going to take a break for the news, all right?
All right.
Jesse Streit's my guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KIM.
Bring some extra zing to your next grilling event with a stop at the Lonsdale Meat Market. Pat the Meat Man makes 43 different kinds of brats. His creative combinations will have your guests asking, "Where'd you get these brats, dude?" The Lonsdale Meat Market also has excellent beef sticks and summer sausage. Make sure to check out all that the Lonsdale Meat Market has to offer, from processing your big game to helping you get ready for your graduation or reunion. The next time you grill, make it special. Start with a stop at Lonsdale Meat Market in downtown Lonsdale.
Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines has an excellent team of drivers with over 400 years of combined safe driving. They're proud of their record and accomplishments, as well as the records and accomplishments of all the Raiders sports teams, and would like to wish them ongoing success. For shuttle services, events, and other transportation needs, contact Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines, your trusted friend on the road. And go Raiders!
You're tuned to 1080 AM Radio or 95.1 FM, The One, from Northfield, Minnesota. This is KYMN.
Special report, VA nominee withdraws. I'm John Trout. Bob Costantini in Washington reads a portion of a statement issued by Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson.
While I will forever be grateful for the trust and confidence President Trump has placed in me, I am regretfully withdrawing my nomination to be Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Jackson's nomination was wrecked by several days' worth of accusations of drunken behavior, a hostile work environment, and carelessness with handing out prescription medicine.
Correspondent Abby Phillip picks up the story.
Jackson says none of those things are true, and then he adds that unfortunately, because of how Washington works, these false allegations have become a distraction for the president and the important work we must be addressing, how we give the best care to our nation's heroes.
President Trump on Fox News blames a Montana senator for Jackson's withdrawal.
John Tester, I think this is going to cause him a lot of problems in his state.
Tester, the top Democrat on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. I'm John Trout. The Senate may move to confirm Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State today. The CIA director was nominated to replace fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Facing a grilling on Capitol Hill today, ethics are at the center of a look by Congress into the administrator of the EPA. Correspondent Renee Marsh.
It will not be a walk in the park for Scott Pruitt. This hearing is supposed to focus on EPA's budget, but a large chunk of this hearing will be about tough questions on Scott Pruitt, those ethical questions, as well as other scandals.
Sarah Seidner reports Trump lawyer Michael Cohen will evoke his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
Michael Cohen has put in a declaration to the judge, James Otero. He says, based upon the advice of counsel, I will assert my Fifth Amendment right in connection with all proceedings in the case.
That case in connection with a lawsuit filed by adult film actress Stormy Daniels. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will he still be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, KYMN, out of Northfield, Minnesota. It is 10:02 on 1080 and 95.1 FM, The One. My theme song for the second hour, When I'm 64 by the Beatles. Did you enjoy the clarinet solo there?
It's always fun when I can hear the clarinet. I'm probably one of the few who enjoy that.
Now, can you tell what he was playing?
That was a B-flat clarinet.
A B-flat?
Yes.
Okay. Just like that.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. That's a B-flat.
No doubt about it.
All right. Jesse Streitz, my guest on KYMN Radio, by the way, if you just tuned in. Jesse is the youngest of a bunch of children of Al and Ruth Streitz. His oldest brother, down to him, we go John, Joan, Jimmy, Jerry, Joel, Janet, Jeff, Judy, Jack, and Jesse. And one or two of your siblings have passed away?
Just one, Jimmy.
Jimmy, okay. So, and of course, we established last time your brother lived across the street from me.
Right. That was Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right.
And I liked him. He was so mellow.
He was a very mellow guy and would talk about just about anything and very kind-hearted man.
Yeah, good man. I liked him. And he has a son named Mark, I
Mark,
believe.
Yeah. Exactly.
So Jesse has done so many things that I didn't know he has done in his lifetime, and he and his wife Laurie, Williams, and I'm sitting here wondering if it's the Williams I know. The Williams I know are connected to the Winters.
I don't believe so.
And then there's Pam Williams.
She is a relative.
Yeah, okay. So You taught at Northfield High School for a couple of years. Once again, after Amboy, same thing happened. Mm-hmm. They had to cut your particular subjects of teaching, mm-hmm. which rattled that off again, what you taught again.
Well, you, as an industrial arts teacher, you get trained in drafting, metalworking, electronics, graphic arts, plastics, woodworking, and that might be it, or auto mechanics also in there.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And you would normally specialize in two or three of those.
Okay.
But you had to teach them all.
Yep. And you had probably the most popular ever teacher at Northfield High School.
Fred Simonich?
Yeah, Simonich.
Yes. And he was a football coach as well.
Yeah. And did you enjoy him?
I enjoyed him because he was one of the teachers that... you know, we talked earlier about I may have had a little mark against me because of my older brothers and sisters, but all of my older brothers that had Fred Simonich were all great at woodworking and at the trades. And I came along, and he just expected I was going to be good at it as well.
And
I was, and it was just natural for me to do woodworking and metalworking. You know, I grew up with it.
So where did you go after teaching at Northfield High School?
Okay, well, then I decided that I wasn't meant to teach since I kept getting cut, and I wanted to move on, so I started a cabinet shop out in Dundas. So I had a woodworking business for about 9 years out of Dundas and did cabinets. And at the same time...
Where in Dundas?
Well, you remember where Chip DeMann had the bicycle shop in Dundas?
Yeah.
That was my first building I located in when I had the woodworking business. That building is still there. It kind of run down now, but it's still there. And I had my wood shop in there. And then after a couple of years, I moved my wood shop downtown Dundas and what became the Fermentations, and I believe it's Almond Glass now.
No, Martha's maybe?
Martha's also. Okay. Right. And so I was in there for a number of years, but then... In 1979, Jimmy and Joel kind of split up in the heating business. Joel went off and, because Joel and Jimmy were partners in the heating business out of Denison. And Joel decided to go back into the union and work for Hymec here in Northfield. And Jimmy tried going on his own. Didn't work real well for him. He basically went out of business. When that happened, I restarted it back up again in 1979 and slowly.
Did you have to buy the name?
No, I didn't have to buy the name. Jimmy really wanted to sell me things, but at that point there really wasn't much to buy any longer.
But he was out in Denison.
Yes, out in Denison.
Did he own the building?
He owned the building. I did not buy the building. They sold it to someone else. I did not want to be located in Dundas since almost all of our work is in Northfield.
Denison.
I mean in Denison. I didn't want to be in Denison since all of our work is in Northfield, so I wanted to be closer. But the one thing I did want to keep is that the 645-4040 phone number, because we had that since the 50s, somewhere in there. and that was on an awful lot of furnaces and equipment around town. So before that number, I knew that the phone company would usually keep a business phone number that was disconnected. They wouldn't reissue that phone number to anyone else for at least a year, because imagine if you were a private person and you got that number, you'd be getting a lot of calls.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere before that first year was up, after that phone number was disbanded, or whatever would be the correct term, I called the phone company, was able to get that phone number back. And I started the heating business at that point from scratch and developed it to where it is now.
Did I ever call on you as a cabinet maker? Do you recall?
Yes, I did advertise a little bit on Kim Radio.
Okay.
And I would say it probably was you, Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was Bob. Bob might have called on me some too, Bob Matheson.
Okay. There was another guy that was a cabinet maker that worked out of Dundas.
Well, you talking about Hoffman?
Yes.
Well, Mike Hoffman worked for me. He started working in the woodworking business with me, and then he bought me out.
Okay.
And when I decided that I was getting too busy in the heating and air conditioning business, I needed to focus on one thing, so I sold off my cabinet business to Mike Hoffman.
So when did you build your building out in Dundas behind the or alongside County Road 1?
I built that when we moved back from Mankato to Northfield. I built that.
What do you mean back from Mankato?
Well, we had lived, my wife and I had lived in Mankato because I was a student there. Lori was a student there. I taught for a couple of years down there. So we lived in Mankato, I believe, probably 7 or 8 years total.
Yeah.
And then we came back into this area in 1978, I think it was, 79. And that's when I got my teaching job at Northfield High School, and that's when I built my house in Dundas.
Well, I've been to your house that has all the fancy-dancy, let's save energy, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
That's in Dundas? I thought it was in Bridgewater Township.
No, that's out in Bridgewater. I built a house in Dundas in 79.
You built a house in Dundas?
Right.
Whereabouts?
Right on County Road 1 as you cross the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Like you're heading west out of town.
Yeah.
It was a natural redwood-sided house.
On the north side?
On the north side.
Across from Red?
Yep, across from Red Jackson, absolutely.
All right.
We built that in
79. Isn't it fun sitting down and chit-chatting and bringing up names you haven't heard for a
right,
while?
Right, absolutely, yeah. Red Jackson, great auto mechanic. Yeah. Or, I mean, great body mechanic.
Yeah, yeah. And his house floated so many times.
Yes, it did. And I helped take stuff out of that basement a couple times when it was flooding.
Do you remember that hailstorm that went through one year?
Yeah.
It filled the ditches
right,
out there.
Right, yeah, you could scoop it up.
Yeah, because my daughter went out and actually, like, did a swimming motion in the hail.
Oh, really?
You know, it was that deep, yeah.
that deep, huh?
Yeah, right across the railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, County Road 1, just west of the railroad tracks. Well, that's interesting. So how does a guy on a teacher's pay end up being able to... buy land along County Road 1 and build a building? Or is it none of my business?
Well, no, of course. I really didn't have any money. When I was in college yet, I bought a house in Mankato. So I was still a college student when I bought a home in Mankato. And then I fixed it up. I bought it at the right price, fixed it up, and was able to sell it at a pretty good profit. And... when we moved here is when we sold that house, and I had enough money for a good down payment to build a home. I had to convince a bank that I was credit worthy. It was a little difficult to do because I didn't have much money, but I did have $20,000 to put down on a house that I built for $44,000. So it all worked out for me. I've always been pretty good with money and making things work out.
Now, there's a gentleman that I particularly like and respect, Jerry Anderson.
Yes.
And he was wise enough to build his Anderson Furniture Store, which is now a church right next to Quick Trip out on Highway 3.
Right.
And he foresaw the future and brought in Kmart, brought in Menards, and the strip there. So your strip, which ran east and west,
mm-hmm.
West of the storage center there.
Right. So, yeah, I built that building in 1987.
Yeah.
And that was a difficult thing because I did not have much money to do that either. I bought that number of acres there. I forget the exact acreage. It's not a lot. But I bought that from Jerry Anderson and Dale Quist. And they gave me a good deal on it because they wanted something to go up out there. And I was one of the first things to go up there besides their mini storage. So I got a good price on it. I think it was $29,000 for that land back then.
Wow.
I did not have any money to build that big of a building. I went to the bank and they said, well, we can't loan you. You're going to need a lot more money down.
And this was in 79?
This was in 87 now.
Okay, we're past that huge interest rate.
Yeah, yes. And I had not enough money for down payment. So I went to the state of Minnesota. They had what was called an Omni 3 program. And they would loan you $15,000 for every job that you created. So I decided that I needed $75,000, so I better create five jobs. So if I created five jobs, the Omni program would loan me $75,000 that I could use as my 40% down on the loan for this building. And they would take second position to the bank. So the bank still would remain number one position on the loan. So they would loan me 50% with the state backing 40, and I had 10 down. And then after it got established and I created those jobs, and I always thought going into it that, yeah, you know, the state's not going to follow up. If I don't create these five jobs, it's going to be okay. Well, they were there every year auditing me to make sure that I had indeed created five additional positions. So there's a lot of pressure on me to expand quickly.
Did you, you were one job, Laurie then be the second job?
No, I had to create five more positions from who I had employed already, and I already had four people besides myself, so I had to create, and so I got up to 19 people out there.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I was doing Walmarts all over. I would do them in South Dakota, Colorado, Montana, Wyoming. I did Walmart stores all over.
I do remember calling you one time, and he's not here. Oh, when will he be back? Well, he's out at Walmart's in Boise or
wherever.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going, Streitz?
Yes.
Heating and cooling is putting in systems for Walmart's big stores in the Midwest? That had to be a scary bid.
But it was, and I really didn't have that much experience. I just had a lot of confidence that I could do what I wanted to do, and I made it work. And in order to get to those jobs, too, it would take me a while to drive, so I decided I should buy a plane and learn how to fly. So I learned how to fly, and I bought myself a plane, and I would fly out to those jobs.
Would you hire local?
I would send two of my own people out to each Walmart project. Yeah. Yes, as the leaders. And then I would go out there a couple months ahead of time before the job started. I'd place an ad in the paper. I would set up a hotel room, and I would interview local people. And I would try to hire four to six local people to man or staff that.
Did you do a good job on that, or did you get stung a couple of times?
I wouldn't say we got stung, but Walmart didn't grow to the size they are by not hanging on to their money. So they would certainly not pay a lot, and they weren't always very prompt in paying. They knew how to use other people's money. So it was not the most profitable thing I did, but it allowed me to grow. It allowed me to honor my my obligations on the building and to the state of Minnesota.
How about the plane? What kind did you get?
Well, I've had a couple different ones. I learned, of course, like everybody.
Out at Stanton or Faribault?
Yes, Clarence Hines in Stanton.
Oh, okay.
Clarence Hines, great guy.
Yeah.
I, of course, like everybody, started in a Cessna 152. I think a lot of people started in that little two-seater. Then I went to a 172, which was a four-seater. And then I bought a Piper Warrior. So I bought a low wing, a Piper Warrior 2 in 1979, I think it was, and I kept that at Faribault because I wanted to have landing lights and an instrument approach and stuff that I could get.
Now, were you surprised at the expense of an airplane or the cheapness of an airplane?
You know, a lot of people right away, oh my gosh, he must be rich, he had a plane. Well, these people that are saying that might own a cabin up north. They might have a vacation home somewhere. people get the idea that flying has to be really expensive. However, I will say after 9/11 and that whole thing, and the cost of fuel has gone way up. But when I was flying, it wasn't something that a person couldn't do if you really wanted to. It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't any different than owning an expensive motorhome or a lake home somewhere. I just chose to have a plane.
And do you have one now?
No, I do not. If I want to fly, I lease a plane or rent a plane out of Lakeville or Faribault.
Did you ever have a plane that could do aerobatics?
I did not have a plane that was licensed to do aerobatics. I had a 177, and I would go up with Clarence Hines. In the, you know, after I had my license, I'd go back to. I went back to Clarence. Said, you know, I really want to learn to do more things in the plane. So we went up with a 152 and did stalls, and we did the, you know, the old spins coming down and stuff. And I wanted to learn how to recover from those things in case it ever happened to me. So, but I did not get involved in really doing aerobatics.
Never have to land where you weren't supposed to?
Oh, we've had some issues through. You know, that'd be another day where we'd talk about some problems I would run into in flying and wishing I was on the ground.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with our guest, Jesse Streitz, part two on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN.
The Automotive. Save up to $4,750 off MSRP on 2018 Equinox LT SUV. Select competitive owners, get another $2,500 off. Save up to $16,000 off MSRP on 2018 Silverado LT. Select competitive owners, get another $500 off. Chevy, find new roads. Harry Brown's Family Automotive in Faribault. Online at harrybrownsgm.com.
Must finance with GM Financial. Include $750 down payment assistance on Equinox, $1,000 on Silverado. Silverado stock number 89810. Competitive make owners must prove ownership of 99 or newer non-GM vehicle. Offers end 4/30/18.
The Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nearstrand would like to salute the area FFA members at the State FFA Convention. FFA is dedicated to making a positive difference in the lives of students by developing their potential for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agricultural education. For all your insurance needs, farm, home, auto, and commercial, contact the Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nearstrand.
With spring here and the planting season upon us, the River Country Co-op in Randolph is here for local farmers to help in their planting season and to help provide a very successful year. Everyone at the River Country Co-op wants to congratulate our future farmers of America at the State FFA Convention. We know the dedication each and every one of you has put forth in the FFA, and everyone at River Country Co-op would like to thank each and every one of you for your hard work.
For almost 40 years, the name Paul Zien has been linked to quality glasswork in the area. When it was time to get your windshield fixed, you called Paul Zien. When your vehicle needed maintenance or repair, you had to find someone else to call. Not anymore. Paul Zien Glass in Northfield is now also Paul Zien Auto Repair. The same Paul Zien glass quality now available to service your auto repair needs. Everything from oil changes and tire repair to transmissions and engines. For more information, go to the Paul Zien Auto Repair Facebook page or call Dale, our ASE certified master mechanic at 645-6450.
Well, this is apropos after talking about airplanes.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Of course, that's the name of the song.
Right.
I can see all.
Johnny Nash is singing this. It was number five.
In 1972.
It's going to be bright.
And it is right here on this, I forgot to say the date here, Jesse, so your kids and grandkids will know that this was recorded on April 26, and the year is 2018. You ever say 19? When I still go 1900 sometimes.
Oh, yes, I see what you're saying. Absolutely, I will do that. Not as much as I did earlier in the 20th century, but yeah.
How about checks? Write these checks, and they're all dated a year.
Well, certainly, yeah. It's on January 1st. You always are writing a previous year, I think, on that. Yeah.
Now, you built the building out there, and then, of course, our dear friend, the late Ray Johnson.
Right.
Was that an add-on addition to the existing building?
I did add on about 3,000 square feet later on, and his first place was in the added-on addition. However, later on, he didn't need more room, so he moved back into the original part of the building.
And then there are two maybe other businesses.
I've had various people there, but right now we have Cannon Valley Vet. Not Cannon Valley, I'm sorry, Countryside Vet. Rich is out there. And then we had Ray and Ken Johnson and their water softener. And Streit's Heating and Cooling occupies a big portion of that building. And we have two spaces empty right now that we're looking to fill.
Okay. And Dundas is growing.
Dundas is growing, absolutely, yes. I mean, it was 500 people, I think, for 100 years, and all of a sudden now it's gone up to over 1,500. So it's had some pretty rapid growth.
Really? 1,500?
Mm-hmm, right.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I used to give tours on buses.
Okay.
You know, for the Northfield Historical Society.
I didn't know that. Okay.
For the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. And man, you'd be good at that.
Yeah, and I enjoyed doing it. And I would tell them all about things, and we'd do the Outlaw Trail Run, which the James Younger gang escaped through Dundas.
Through Waterville.
And I said, you know, the population sign there says 859 people. And I says, and it hasn't grown for years. You know why?
Do I know why it didn't grow?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Well, because every time somebody got pregnant, somebody left town.
There's an old joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an old
joke. And it was appropriate on the bus. You know,
there you
and
go.
People would laugh, and we'd have a good time showing
get in trouble
around.
For saying that now.
Well, they just did.
Well, I know it,
okay.
But you might
get
in trouble.
Hopefully the people that listen to my show get it by now.
Right,
okay.
Absolutely. That's
right. I can be sometimes not politically correct.
Well, it was a different generation, and we didn't have to be quite as careful as we do now.
Yeah. So you build a building.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going great, so you add on to it. You bring in various companies that do business out of there, and you have turnover, just like any building.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, I heard on KYMN radio yesterday, what's the name of that street out that runs from the, can't remember, I think it's just south of the hockey rink.
And
it's named after some guy in Arbuckle or
not Armstrong.
No. I'm over along Highway 3.
Right.
Anyhow, the name of the street escapes me. But they talked about office space for rent, $220 a month, including Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi.
Wow. That's pretty reasonable.
I was thinking, I wonder if I should take my roll-top desk that's always a mess and put it in there and have a little phone. And I thought,
if you got kicked out of the house, you'd always have a place to go.
Yeah, a man cave. So one of the things that you did, I'm sure, when you invested in that acreage that you have there, it's zoned commercial.
Right.
And it's a road to Menards.
Mm-hmm.
That land would be, of course, very valuable and grown in value now.
Well, it certainly has gone up from the time I bought it. I don't think you'd get an acre of land out there for $29,000 an acre now. It probably would be 10 times that, probably
mm-hmm.
$300,000 an acre. I'm not really sure where the land costs are. It's maybe stagnated a little bit the last 10 years as brick-and-mortar businesses have had some issues with the Amazon.com and the Googles and stuff, but land is still pretty valuable along Highway 3. And Dundas has certainly had a little growth along Highway 3. Of course, Northfield has too with the Target and the County Market. Is it County Market? No.
No, Cubs. Yeah, Patricus
yeah.
is where
yes,
you're
yeah, Patricus. Yeah. See how old I am? And Dundas had growth with Aldi's and the Menards and the movie theater. So all of that land was originally really developed and improved by Jerry Anderson and Dale Quist. That they're quite active in Dundas.
Right.
And while I was mayor of Dundas, I worked a lot with them.
Well, you were mayor of Dundas, too.
Well, yes, I had a number of years as mayor.
Man. Well, I don't really know. You know, I must know this stuff. It just
I think that you know that
there.
Because we had talked about that before. But I got involved on the Planning Commission with Dundas, and then I moved to the council, and then I became mayor. So I had about 18 years in the city government in Dundas, and started the TIF financing district and was able to develop that area.
So were you on the council then when
Kmart was the first
Kmart
to go
came
out there.
In? Okay.
Yes, and we did that through tax increment financing. Which
TIF,
was, yeah. Yeah, which was controversial at the time.
And do you think it has paid off?
Well, we had formed a 24-year TIF district where we captured all of the taxes. You know, we captured the school district's portion, and we captured the county's portion. All of the taxes that we captured then come into Dundas instead of going to those entities. And that was a 24-year district. So for 24 years, we captured all the taxes in that district, and that's the only way that Dundas could have grown to where it is now with the city sewer and the city water and paved streets and curb and gutter. We didn't have any of that. We had no city water. We had no city sewer when I was mayor. Our roads were gravel at that time. 95% of the septic tanks were failing in Dundas. We did some dye tests downtown Dundas where you put dyes in the toilet and you'd flush them and you'd quick run to the river. The river would, after a flush, would just turn blood red.
I was just going to say there. I know those places where the toilet was flushed right into the cannon.
Those pipes went right onto the Cannon River. So we really had to do something. And the only way we were going to do that with a small town was to find assistance and grow. And that all happened while I was mayor.
You talked about the TIF. Now, for those people that don't understand it, including myself, as well as you do, I know that you attract a company to come in and you waive their taxes for a certain length of time and then their taxes start kicking in. Does a place like Kmart get out of there without ever paying taxes because they came and gone?
No, and that's really a misnomer. The business still pays all of their taxes. We just sell bonds and help them pay for them coming to town. They still pay all of their share of taxes that they would have. But the portion that we financed or helped them finance through bonds is paid through by some of those very taxes that they're paying and other people in the district are paying. Dundas was the number one user per capita of TIF in the state of Minnesota when I was mayor.
Wow.
We had the Attorney General's office very aware of what Dundas was doing, and we would be audited. And some of the TIF laws in the state of Minnesota were actually changed because of what Dundas did. We took full advantage of the TIF laws, and it helped Dundas get what we really needed, which was sewer, water.
Yeah, I remember the dedication of the little pump.
Right.
Out
yes.
behind
yep.
Apple.
But
by the post office.
Right. Some of the other entities, like the school district, who would lose a portion of their revenue and the county, weren't always in favor of the TIF laws. And in order to use TIF, you had to have what we call, it had to go through a but-for test. It was called a but-for test. This development wouldn't happen but for TIF. Kmart wouldn't have come but for TIF. We had to prove that Kmart would not have come or Menards would not have come to Dundas except for TIF. And we could show that we had no way of getting them there if it hadn't been for TIF financing.
So I know that you had to do a lot of work and study and reading and lawyers, I'm sure.
Right.
So the simple thought that I have, TIF financing means in some instances this piece of property is going to be taxed at $10,000 a year. Based on our rate. However, we will waive all or a portion of those first year or 5 years of taxes, and that gives them the opportunity financially to make something happen.
That's just not correct.
Okay.
No, it's really not. And that's why some people are really opposed to TIF, because they think that we're giving the business tax-free years. Like when Kmart came in from day one, they paid their taxes. However, Dundas would take a portion of those taxes and other taxes collected in that district to pay off bonds that were used to help them finance their building in Dundas. So they're still paying taxes, but they're getting benefit from it because those taxes are being used to pay off some of what
And what do you mean when you say the bonds that they get?
Well, if I don't remember these numbers any longer, but okay. I think Kmart might have needed $1 million to additional to come to Dundas. Well, we sold $1 million of GO bonds, which are general obligation bonds.
And who buys those?
Investors.
Okay.
Because you're guaranteed an interest rate.
And you have to have a credit rating.
You get a bonding company, and you go to a bonding company. It's a team of lawyers, and they sell off these bonds to investors. I've invested in bonds through the years because you're guaranteed an interest rate for the term of the bond, and you don't always get those guarantees elsewhere.
But I found out it's expensive buying them.
It is, and it can be a little risky because if interest rates go up, well, you're stuck. Your money is stuck at those bond rates, you know. But anyway, that's how Dundas kind of got to where it is now by TIF financing. And the TIF district, that 24-year TIF district that we formed when I was mayor, is no longer. It's sunset. It's done. And all the taxes are going back to the appropriate entities, the school district and the county, and everything's kind of normal there now.
Speaking about bonds, my wife and I bought a small bond for Marshall, Minnesota, mm-hmm. a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at it. It was first statement, and let's just pretend, okay? I gave $5,000, and here's what I got, $4,102. Now,
yes.
Wait a minute.
Well, you did better than me. My wife and I invested in some bonds in some building project. I'm not sure where it was, Omaha or something. I think we ended up getting zero out of it. So I think investing in that fashion is not for the faint of heart. I think you really need to know what you're doing. I obviously didn't.
Well, we came out, but it
well, wasn't you came out better than me.
Yeah, and you have to hold it for 10 years, or
right?
Something like
right?
That.
Right?
Here we are talking stocks and bonds.
Yes, yes. And I'm no expert on that by any means.
And
but
I'm not.
I did learn some things when I was mayor, no doubt.
Okay. And I had forgotten that you were mayor, and I apologize for that. It's just been a long time—50 some years that
we've known you.
And I forgot that you were a go-getter. And,
yeah.
I know you were in your business all the time,
mm-hmm.
but I just forgot that you had been on the council and the mayor
sure.
of Dundas, Minnesota, which, of course, is really growing. Some people may not know this, but when you think of Dundas, you think of going south on Highway 3, taking a right on County Road 1, going up to the cemetery and turning kind of to the left, getting to a stop sign, taking a right to go over the two bridges to the stop sign, and then take a left and find a place to park for the entertainment and food businesses right downtown Maine. Now, I remember when Jim Burns moved the bank
right.
over to County Road 1 and Highway 3.
Yes.
I ended up with the teller window what do you call it, this part of...
The drive-through? Or?
No. Inside the old bank.
Or the lobby? Or?
The teller would... Like, if I'm the teller?
Right.
This is in front of you and I.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure what you call it. A counter.
Okay, counter.
I ended up putting that in the basement of a house I had
on
the east side.
Okay.
And had the story about it's from the Dundas Bank.
Right.
I wish I wouldn't have sawed the legs off and all the things I did to it. But now Dundas has grown, and did your service to Dundas as a public servant help provide with all of the construction of homes on the northwest side of Dundas past the railroad tracks and
yes.
along Armstrong Road?
When I was mayor, that was the time when that Millstone Edition, with Don Pavic and mm-hmm. College City Homes, that was opened up during that period of time. I was not mayor or involved in the city government in Dundas when the stuff happened on the east side of Highway 3.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next.
Yeah, I was not involved in that at all.
Okay,
that was after me.
People may not know this, but... And you can't do it now because they're doing County Road 1 between
right.
246 and Highway 3. But as you go on County Road 1, if you get to the intersection coming from Northfield, you would take a left. And you'd go, there's homes out on the side of the hill, and you'd go up on top of the hill, and then you take a right, and there are dozens of homes back there.
Lots of homes.
And those are in Dundas.
Those are in Dundas.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
Is there any other little enclave of homes that I'm not aware of? But
not that I'm aware of. I know that Chuck DeMann has opened up a few acres of land just south of Main Street. You know, you drive, you continue on Main Street out
Railroad,
of Dundas.
Railroad
Street, and you just drive south,
yeah,
just past their old farm. I think it was 5 or 10 acres that he opened up, and he's selling lots off there.
On the
east side of that highway.
Okay, well,
right,
that's
across from like the where the police station is.
Yeah.
And the,
okay.
The county shop.
Well, that's all demands along there.
Right. Right.
You got Chip and Jerry sold out.
Yep. And Chris was there.
And mm-hmm. Doug.
Doug.
And that's where I first saw little huts that were used for workers that would come in and help farmers in the fall, and they'd stay in these old mm-hmm. Little huts.
Right.
And they tore them down almost when I first got here. But
right.
And the railroad track went right across there, too.
Right.
Boy, oh, boy. A lot of things.
A lot of things going on.
Flying an airplane. Have you ever parachuted?
You know, we did. Just once, last year actually, my wife and I decided, one of my sons, Nick, thought it would be fun for us to do a tandem jump. So we went up to an airport up near the cities, I forget the name, and we each did a tandem jump.
In Wisconsin?
No, in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
It's a place that, you know, you can go to on a Saturday or Sunday and they strap on to another person.
Yeah.
And we decided to do that. It was rather exciting, but I've got just a brief story to tell about that.
Well, why don't we tell that story after this break?
Okay.
Jesse Streitz is my guest here this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota. Hey, thanks for tuning in.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
This spring, it's time to add new life to your car with a great new set of Cooper tires at Witt Brothers Service in Northfield. For a limited time, you can get a $100 Cooper Tires prepaid card when you buy a new set of 4 qualifying tires. Options include the high-performance Cooper Zeon, the long-lasting Cooper Grand Touring, and the rugged Cooper Discovery. So cruise down the road this spring on top of a new set of Cooper tires and put a little extra money in your pocket, too. For details, visit CooperTire.com or stop by Witt Brothers Service, 701 Division Street in Northfield.
We're Three Links, and we are here for you. I am Sarah Dandel, manager at Three Links Apartments in Northfield. We offer an active, vibrant community for seniors and the disabled. We have spacious one-bedroom apartments, controlled access, off-street parking, elevator, and are handicap accessible. This is a place to call home, make new friends, and participate in many fun activities. Tours are welcome. Call 664-8850.
'72, the year that Laurie Williams graduated from Northfield High School. Her husband, Jesse Streitz, is here.
Of course, with no name, and yeah. I don't know if that's the official name, but
yep.
It just doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
Do you know who did the song?
No, I do not. You said something about American.
America.
America. Is that the name of the group?
The group is called America. The song is A Horse with No Name.
Da, 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 da.
I don't hear any clarinets.
No clarinets. That would be rare.
That's the hook. Because everybody is now doing the humming with them.
Da-da-da-da. Right.
It's like Sweet Caroline and and oh, what's his name? Who's Neil Diamond? And when you Sweet Caroline, dun, 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 everybody does that. It is 18 minutes before. It's 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio, Northfield, Minnesota. And we're talking skydiving now. And my guest, Jerry Streitz, and his wife, Lori Williams, went to some airport up north of the cities or west of the cities, strapped on a tandem deal, and got in an airplane. And how many were jumping out of the plane that ride that you had? You, your wife, and...
Yeah, but what was happening there, by the way, I've never done any jumps before, so I'm not an experienced jumper at all. But they normally have a plane there that would take about 8 jumpers. And the side door had been removed and the seats taken out and all that stuff, and you'd jump out of that. Well, that plane was not working that day. So they had just a 4-seater Cessna.
Ooh.
And it would take up...
Wow.
The back seat was removed, and so there'd be the pilot... And then the 4 of us in the back, the 2 inexperienced jumpers and the 2 experienced jumpers who were strapped to. And when you get into the plane, you're already strapped onto them. And you're crouching down, the 4 of you, if you've ever been in a 172. It's a tiny area. And the door is still attached on there. And when it comes time to jump, they open this door up. And you have to step out onto the landing gear strut and hold on, and then try to push yourself away from the plane. So the experience of just getting out of the plane was very interesting, let alone the dive. But what happens, Lori is set to go first, and so Lori jumps out, and I think we wait, I want to say 20, 30 seconds before then we're ready, and we jump out. Well, we jump out, and I'm looking down at Lori to see where she's at, and I see that... she's getting quite a ways off to the side from where they don't want to be. They want to be much nearer the landing zone. And I ask my guy that I'm strapped to, which, by the way, he had 7,000 jumps. He was a former Navy SEAL. He Ooh. Just had a lot of experience. And I said, why are they way over there? And he looked and he said, you know, I don't know. I don't think they're... That doesn't seem right. Well, pretty soon, I see their chute leave. And her chute's off. They have to do a cutaway of the main chute because it had tangled. And they could not steer it. They could not guide it. So here I am, up above, watching my wife falling to the ground and tangled up in chute. And they have to do a cutaway of her chute. And luckily, the reserve chute comes out a little while later, in time enough before they... hit the ground.
Well, that means you didn't even couldn't enjoy your jump.
I was rather concerned.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this, you can't do anything about it, but in my chute's fine.
Yeah.
But when we get down on the ground, I go over there, and even her, and the jumper that she was strapped to was a lady who had 5,000 jumps, and she said, this is the first time that's happened like this. And they were both just sitting on the ground or laying on the ground just like, really? Even this lady with 5,000 jumps was rather stressed out about it.
I tried parachuting one time.
Right.
And I broke, I broke the thumb on my right hand and the pointy finger on my right hand.
Huh.
And then my left hand was all scraped up.
And how did that happen?
Well, that's where, you know the punchline?
The what?
The punchline.
Yeah, no, I don't know the punchline.
That's where the assistant pilot was jumping up and down on my hands to make me let go of the plane.
Well, I don't know if I believe that or not. But,
no, I did do a tandem jump, right. And it was in Balsam, I think, Wisconsin. It was like 100 degrees,
mm-hmm.
And we had the plane that you described, and we had like 8 jumpers.
Right.
And it was so hot in that plane. And then when you got, I was the last one out.
Okay.
And when I got out, the thing that was the greatest was the cool air.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
right.
falling. And I wish we could have fallen further, but
yes.
They have to do the old parachute
mm-hmm.
thing.
Right.
And I like to tell people that haven't done this, when you're watching a parachute jump, and you see them open the parachute, and then all of a sudden they're snapped up.
Right.
When you watch it on TV.
Yes.
Well, that isn't what's happening. What's happening is the parachute came up, but the guy filming it is still falling.
Right.
So they're falling away. It isn't that's being popped up.
No.
And I had learned that. But no, it was Adrenaline City.
Right.
And it's expensive.
But we had fun, but needless to say, my wife has decided that she probably won't do it again.
Yeah. How long ago was it?
Well, last year.
Okay.
Last year when we did it, yes.
Well, when I did it, I can tell how long it was because Shelley Brady did it, and her daughter was going to do it, but she was like 6 weeks pregnant, and they suggested not. Mm-hmm. So however old that kid is, that's how many years ago it's been since I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane.
Yes, yes.
But I would do it again.
Yeah.
Would you?
I would do it again, no doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah. It is a thrill.
Yes.
So now I got you running Straits Heating and Cooling, 645-4040. And how long did you own that before your children were able to buy it from you?
36 years I had it for.
Okay. And in those 36 years, you served as a mayor and a city councilman to the city of Dundas.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they going to make a statue of you?
No, I doubt that.
Okay.
I think people would probably tear it down.
Yeah. What was your thinking about the old mill?
The old mill there in Dundas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's still there. I always wish that could be made into something nicer, whether it be a museum or something. I'm not sure, but I would hate to see it just continue to deteriorate.
Well, I remember people stealing the flagstone.
Sure.
And they have a beautiful park there now.
Right.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Parking lot. And I know at one time Jerry Adams owned that building, and then the next thing I know, it looked like a contractor had closed in some walls with concrete blocks and ran a business out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But I did go in there when it was nothing but a shadow of itself.
Right.
And it was kind of interesting.
It is, isn't it? I wish that had never even burned down. Maybe there'd still be a mill there, and Dundas would be St. Paul. Who knows?
Do you know a guy named George that had the candle factory?
Sure. Bill George.
Yeah.
Bill George. George was his last name. Bill George. And yes, no, I knew him pretty well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite people of all time was Layman's Garage. Where is Layman's? It's all around Dundas. And Jim Layman was just a great character. I mean, TV people could come in and shoot his life story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way he looked, the way he walked, the way his huge hands would fix little tiny things, and then he'd have the junkyard in the back.
Yes.
And, that business was fantastic. Now, I am not accusing Layman's Garage for anything, but I will say, back in the day, what a moneymaker. You could launder money. It was because who knows what the butterfly on a carburetor for a 49 Ford was worth?
Right.
Go take it off yourself, it'll be $10 or $2.
Yeah.
It doesn't go in the register.
No.
Now, this isn't about layman's. This is about what we call junkyards.
Sure.
And
absolutely,
they really had junkyard dogs.
And they usually were wealthier than they appeared, the people who owned those junkyards. It wasn't, sometimes you would think they're almost like bums, the ones who owned it, but most of them were worth quite a bit of money.
Yeah. And, you had Polly Parrott, who owned, I don't even know what it's called now, the junkyard out north of town, across from Schweitzer's.
It became a biking auto.
And then it went into another company.
Mm-hmm.
But you go in there, and it's like going into a department store.
Oh.
I mean, all the telephones and people behind the phones. And
organize all the parts are computerized on the computer. They know exactly what they have. They know what shelf they're on.
It's
very organized.
Yeah. And if you remember Layman's, did you ever go in the back end?
Yes, I did. And I went back there one time without his permission, and I got in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't trying to steal anything. I was just looking to see if he had what I needed, and I was going to buy it, but he didn't. I didn't go in there with his permission, and okay. He was not very happy about that.
They had a couple of kids, one of them, Jimmy and Gary, and a daughter who worked at Laura Baker School. And Gary ended up managing a huge auto dealership in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
I bought my first brand-new car in 1970, a mm-hmm. Gremlin.
A Gremlin. Oh,
75,
boy.
I traded it in on a Pacer.
You had two classics, a Gremlin and a Pacer.
I wish I had them now.
Well, they'd be worth something now, but at the time, I don't know that they were the best-looking cars out there.
Yeah, but they were. I paid $19.99.
Well, there you go.
What I was going to tell you, I bought like a 1949, 50 or 51, I can't remember what year it was, Ford. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was in relatively good condition. And I had no place to put it. And I asked Jim Lehman mm-hmm. if I could put it in his yard. He said, absolutely. So I left it in front of the gas pumps, and he put it in the yard. And I forgot about it until things were starting to slow down out there.
Right.
And so I went and said, hey, where's my Ford? He said, what Ford? I said, remember that Ford I brought in? I don't know. You can go look for it. Well, I couldn't find one.
If you had it, it would have been in pieces.
Yeah. And no fault of anybody's.
No.
Just, I didn't pay attention to it.
Right.
But I was hoping that I could, because my first car was a 38 Ford.
Oh, yes.
It's 6 before 11. Hey, Jesse Streit's my guest, and I'm doing all the talking.
Do you have a wedding in your future? Is navigating the options for your big day leaving your head spinning? Not to worry. We have good news for you. On Thursday, May 10th, head to the 2nd Annual Northfield Area Wedding Vendor Fair at the Gardens of Castle Rock. With over 35 vendors, every aspect of your special day will be covered. From venues to caterers, wedding planners to florists, photographers to DJs, and everything in between. Go to the Gardens of Castle Rock Facebook page to check out the video from last year's fair. Click on the link at kymnradio.net for more information and to register for the fair and your chance to win cash prizes at the Northfield Area Wedding Vendor Fair, Thursday, May 11th from 4 to 7 at the Gardens of Castle Rock.
If you're considering that new or pre-owned vehicle purchase, you can buy with confidence at Milo Peterson Ford in Kenyon. It's been a pleasure to serve you with quality vehicles from which to choose. Remember, they always have all their cars and trucks on sale 313 days a year. See their large selection of new trucks. Milo Peterson Ford in Kenyon, family-owned for over 50 years, salutes the Kenyon-Wanamingo FFA members at the state convention.
Number one song in all of 1972. My guest graduated in 70. His wife, Lori Williams, graduated in 72. I chose this song because it's he was 20 years old at the time.
First time.
I remember that was that song was a big part of a movie with I can't think of the great Western Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
He acted in this movie where this song, where I first heard this song played.
Oh. Unforgiven?
I remember the movie. It was about him falling in love with a gal, and this gal's roommate also liked Clint, and there was this murder thing going on or whatever.
Well,
I can't remember the name of the movie.
I can think of Unforgiven is the one.
And that
might
have been it.
Yeah. It's. I know you're not going to be able to name the performer.
No, right. I'm not.
Whoops, I jumped ahead there. Roberta Flack.
Roberta Flack,
Roberta
sure.
Flack. And her first big hit was Killing Me Softly with Your Song. Wow, that's a weird title. You know what, Jesse, when I talked to you about joining me today on the air, I said to you, bring any journals you have, because you have crossed the country on a bicycle, and we never got to that.
No, we didn't.
I mean, man, I didn't know all these things that you've done in your life. I thought you were just a guy that said, here's how much it's going to cost, and here's
there
what you're going to get. And by the way, I had a furnace that went out on me, and you send a guy out to fix it, and I said, well, this is, I said, it's under warranty. He said, no, I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I think it is. And he said, well, let me check. So he calls your office, and lo and behold, it was under warranty.
Wow. Like,
it was a 7 or 10 year warranty,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it was the last year of the warranty.
Sure. Well, good.
So I
that
got
worked
it,
out for you.
I got it for nothing. And then when we went from the bottled gas,
the LP,
to natural gas, mm-hmm. that saved a lot of money in regards to the cost of heating your home.
Yes. So we converted everything in the home for you then.
This bicycle trip you went on, let's have you come back and talk about it.
Sure.
And I don't know if you have a journal, but if you do, bring it along. Maybe
I do have a journal.
Pictures.
With photos in it.
When did you start?
Well, I was looking back before I got here because I thought that we might get to it, but I always, lately I've been telling people that was 3 years ago, but I come to find out it was actually 4 years ago. So it was 2014. I started March 25th.
Where?
Out of St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh, okay.
So I went east to west.
And the weather got better as you went along, except for hurricanes?
Right. And we can talk about that a little bit and why I went east to west. But I started in Florida, and the weather at first was fairly cool. So I had some nights, a couple nights, where I was sleeping in a tent where there'd be a little frost on the ground. But quite quickly, as I headed across the southern tier, and I hugged the coast as long as I could, till I got near New Orleans, then I decided to turn north of Lake Pontchartrain.
Oh, boy. But did you bike across that?
Yes.
How long did that take you?
Well,
save it for the next time.
Yes, I will.
Okay, because we're going to get into the 11 o'clock news. The Wayne Eddy affair is completed. And Jesse Streitz, I don't know about you, but I never thought that we would talk 2 hours before we got to the bicycle thing.
4 hours?
Yep. Well, yeah.
Well, last time and here.
Yeah, but today I was thinking we'll do this, but holy cow.
I sure hope that your listeners have not been too bored by me.
I think you've been very interesting, from skydiving to being the mayor of a growing community. I think all went well. I am going to give you a call or talk to you, and let's make a date maybe sometime next week, all right?
Sounds good.
Are you going to go fix bicycles now?
No, I'm not. I'm actually going to go and I'm meeting someone. I'm selling a camper.
All right. Well, good luck on that.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jesse Streitz on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 95.1 FM, The One, 1080 on your AM dial.
Jessica Paxton here, host of All Wheel Drive, weekdays 3 until 7 p.m. on 95 The One, featuring an eclectic mix of great music, live in-studio performances, and keeping you posted about cool gigs around town. Don't miss All Wheel Drive on 95.1 The One.
All around the world, we feel it. All around the world. but don't you steal it.